Time for our local hero spotlight with Phil Corman from CISA, the local hero, folks. And Max Taylor, one of the general managers at Brookfield Farm in Amherst, getting ready to wrap up the summer CSA stuff around Thanksgiving, but just in time for the winter CSAs to begin. Brookfield Farm is part of a nonprofit. Max, is that true?
Yeah, we are the sort of sole venture of the Biodynamic Farmland Conservation Trust.
Wow. Does it have a cool acronym or something? Probably not.
There's a lot of like B's and C's and F's in there.
SCUBA. No. Yeah. Tell me about what that is and how the farm is a part of it.
We're open space in Amherst. We're in South Amherst, and our farm is really in the midst of a neighborhood. And a bunch of years ago, the people who owned this land wanted to make sure that it was going to be farmland forever. So they put it into a trust and started this nonprofit with the idea that it would be, you know, a community farm forever. Brookfield Farm is, I think it's the third oldest CSA in the country and was started, I think I want to say back in like the early 90s.
Mm-hmm. And how did you and your partner, Carrie, get involved in Brookfield Farm?
So my wife, Carrie, worked at Brookfield Farm first as an apprentice and then as a system manager. She started working here in 2007. And I was working on different farms in the valley. I worked at Riverland Farm in Sunderland, and her and I met and got married actually at Brookfield Farm in the Westfield. And we really wanted to run our own farm together, but felt like the valley was a little bit full of really well-run organic farms. So we decided to sort of take our talents elsewhere. And we have been down in southeastern Connecticut for the past 10 years running our own CSA. That's kind of like a mini version of Brookfield Farm. And when we saw that Dan Kaplan, who was the manager here for 25 years, was retiring, we felt like it was like a great opportunity to come back to the valley. We missed it here a lot. You know, it's always felt like home. Our friends that still lived here would sort of laugh at us that we would take vacations to like Greenfield.
That's why I fear to leave, because I know I'll miss it so much. I think that's why I'll stay.
Max, you have a lot of experience farming and you've worked for for-profit farms. You've owned a small for-profit farm and now you're managing at a nonprofit trust that owns the farmland. Any differences in the year you've been at Brookfield Farm?
You know, there are some big differences and some small ones. For making the farm transfer and coming in here and taking over from a manager who is, you know, really beloved in the community. He'd been here for 25 years, but it's hard. It almost feels like completely impossible. But the actual like technical process of transition was really simple. Since Dan didn't own this farm, he didn't own this land. We didn't have to like buy in at all. He just left his position as general manager and then the board hired us. So that part of it was really, really simple. You know, Brookfield Farm has existed long before I ever even dreamed of becoming a farmer. And now, you know, Carrie and I have the privilege of taking care of it. And I kind of, you know, we're guaranteed, we know that it's going to exist after we leave, which is, I think, a nice component to farming that I didn't really think about when I was, you know, trying to figure out what to do. We have a strong education focus here. It's part of our mission statement that we're a community farm with a focus on education. So it's just, especially post-COVID, it's been really great to see school buses coming again and seeing, you know, kids on the farm. It's like a really nice aspect of it.
So I know part of when the CSA movement started, and I know it started, you know, in many different parts of the country, but this was one main part. And I know there was a strong component of it that started with Black leaders in agriculture years and years ago. But I am curious on the education part, do you find that people who get a farm share, do they understand, do they want to be part of the risk of the farm? Some years are really good. Some years are not so good. When it rains 30 inches from July on, it's not as good. Do they buy into that and understand that what they get in the share will change year to year?
I mean, I think for the most part, the CSA shareholders as a whole understand that things are going to change. I mean, on an individual level, you have some people who do just want what they want. You know, maybe the CSA isn't for them, or maybe a different farm would be better for them. I mean, I think for a lot of people that have been members of this farm for a really long time, they have really bought into this place and they want to feel the ebbs and the flows and the ups and the downs. And I mean, everyone had the experience of the July that we had where it just rained pretty much every day. So our shareholders understand that that's going to make it hard for us. And I think they want to feel that a little bit, and they want to, you know, hear about it. We write newsletters and talk about it. You know, you get positive feedback. I think it's one of the strengths of being a CSA and growing so many different crops is when some things do terrible, other things do really well. So you kind of always have something that you can, you know, something you can give them.
So what does one find in your winter CSA share?
So the winter CSA, it's a lot of roots, a lot of heavy crops, carrots, beets, potatoes, some celeriac, onions, sweet potatoes, sort of all those good things that you get to store in the dark in New England. Some really beautiful cabbage that we're actually out there picking today.
Where do your shares go?
I would say the majority of it, maybe 75 to 80% of our shares are distributed locally just here in South Amherst. And then we do a weekly delivery to like the Boston area.
So Max, can you share a little bit about how Brookfield Farm tries to ensure its harvest is more available to people with less resources and maybe different appetites as one gets older and doesn't have kids at home?
Yeah. So one of the things that we do that was started when Dan was still the general manager is we traditionally haven't offered different share sizes. We just have one CSA share. Dan noticed that a lot of people who had joined the farm when they had young children, as their children grew and left, they no longer wanted as much produce. So he started to offer a senior share, which is available to anyone who self-identifies as a senior, and they're able to basically buy half of a CSA share so that they could continue to be part of the farm even as their children move away and sort of move on.
And I also understand you do take SNAP and HIP, which is very helpful for people who don't have the resources to just buy a farm share up front. Is that right?
That is correct. Yeah. And I think, I feel like food accessibility can be a really hard thing. And I feel like anything that we can do that can make the farm and the CSA share more accessible to people is something that we would like to do. I would sort of hate the idea that if someone really wanted a share with our farm and they felt like the only thing that was going to prevent them from getting it was that they just couldn't afford it. It just kind of like breaks my heart a little bit. And I would sort of encourage anyone to, you know, contact us, contact whatever farm they're looking at and see if there was something that, you know, they could work out or some way that they could make it available.
Ties in nicely to the March for the Food Bank coming up in a couple of weeks here. Are you coming on the march?
Well, I'm not going to leave it to just one person pulling a cart for 26 miles. I mean, that just seems so unfair.
Well, yeah, we're going to be up close and personal for a long time then, a couple weeks here, Phil.
Yeah.
So, Max, you and your wife, Carrie, are both the general managers of Brookfield Farm there in South Amherst and got married on the farm. It's interesting that you chose to stop sowing your wild oats, I guess, on a place where people might sow wild oats. Is it, tell me the dynamic of what it's like running a farm with your wife.
I feel like it could be the best thing or the worst thing, depending on how it went. For us, I feel like it really is a great thing. We get to spend a lot of time together. A lot of my strengths are Carrie's weaknesses and vice versa. When I'm down, she can kind of pick it up a little bit. And when she's down, I hopefully can do the same for her. When it gets bad, it can be a little bad, but we try to minimize that. You get really practiced in conflict resolution as well.
Maybe it's at least better than working an office job with your wife, because then you're at least in a field somewhere and you could probably like spread out.
You could always get in a truck and drive away.
Words to live by from Max Taylor.
And Max, is there any labor unrest? Like, what about your kid? Do you have any kids? And what's their job title?
Yeah, we have one five-year-old. I think his job title right now is Spider-Man. Yeah, I mean, it's great having him kind of on the farm and close around, but he is, you know, he helps us feed the pigs.
With great power comes great responsibility, Spider-Man. So maybe nobody better to have on the farm with you. Sounds like a great story, an interesting community thing to have done, to set up their own neighborhood as a farm forever and a trust this way, run it like a nonprofit, and being run currently by a family, Max Taylor and his wife, Carrie Taylor, who run Brookfield Farm in Amherst. One of the many local heroes in our valley. You can find out about all of our local heroes, like Phil Corman from CESA, through buylocalfood.org.